This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the May 1st editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Blackstone Valley Emergency Shelter celebrates volunteers and community impact at annual meeting. The Blackstone Valley Emergency Shelter, BVES, hosted its annual meeting and volunteer appreciation celebration on April 16th at Pleasant Valley Country Club, bringing together volunteers, community partners, and supporters for an evening of gratitude, reflection, and vision. The event highlighted a year of remarkable growth and impact as BVES continued its mission to ensure that no one in the Blackstone Valley faces homelessness alone. In 2025, the organization expanded its physical shelter operations, strengthened partnerships with 8 local police departments, and launched new initiatives like the Baskets of Hope Laundry Program and Hope's Thrift Closet, both designed to restore dignity and provide sustainable support. The evening program featured powerful stories of hope and transformation from volunteers and community partners, offering a moving look at how compassion and collaboration were changing lives across the region. A special highlight of the evening was the presentation of the first annual Christine Johnson and Regina Hutnack Hands of Hope Award, which was given to the dedicated volunteers of Hope's Thrift Closet. In just 1 year, these volunteers helped generate more than $40,000 in support of BVES programs, while also providing clothing, care, and compassion to individuals and families in need. Their work reflected the heart of BVES, bringing comfort, dignity, and hope to those facing hardship. Every night we opened our doors, every call we answered, and every life we touched was made possible by our volunteers, said Leslie Reichert, founder and CEO of BVES. This celebration was about honoring the hands and hearts that made hope real in our community. The annual meeting also looked ahead to BVES's future, including its Hope Housing Initiative, 100 Days to Hope, a program designed to provide temporary supportive housing and help individuals transitioning from crisis to stability and permanent housing. Following the formal program, guests enjoyed a time of fellowship and connection, celebrating the collective effort that continued to make BVES a beacon of hope in the Blackstone Valley. Andrew Dolan named 2026 MAVA Outstanding Vocational Technical Student. Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School, BVT, Superintendent Director Anthony E. Steele II is proud to announce that Andrew Dolan of Milford, a senior in the Health Services Program, is BVT's 2026 Massachusetts Association of Vocational Administrators, MAVA, Outstanding Vocational Technical Student. Dolan's academic, vocational, and extracurricular achievements at BVT and in the community earned him this recognition. As an award recipient, he was honored at the 40th Annual MAVA Outstanding Vocational Technical Student Award Ceremony on April 16th at Mechanics Hall in Worcester. Throughout his high school career, Dolan has been a passionate advocate for the skilled trades and the nursing profession. He has earned numerous honors through his involvement with Skills USA, including serving as vice president and winning a national gold medal in healthcare. Andrew also serves as president of BVT's National Honor Society and National Technical Honor Society chapters. His dedication to community service, including work with the Aaron Zenas Foundation and the Ty Lewis Campbell Foundation, earned him the Gold President's Volunteer Service Award. Dolan's passion for healthcare led him to participate in BVT's cooperative education program with UMass Memorial Medical Center in Marlborough. Employed as a medical-surgical inpatient clinical technician, he gains hands-on experience by caring directly for patients and supporting their recovery. He also participates in an emergency medicine internship at Milford Regional Medical Center, a nonprofit community and regional teaching hospital, and part of the UMass Memorial Health System. Dolan plans to continue his vocational education by pursuing a doctoral degree in acute trauma nursing. He hopes to work as a nurse practitioner in emergency medicine. About Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School, BVT, BVT serves the towns of Bellingham, Blackstone, Douglas, Grafton, Hopedale, Mendon, Milford, Millbury, Millville, Northbridge, Sutton, Upton, and Uxbridge. Located in the heart of the Blackstone Valley, BVT creates a positive learning community that prepares students for personal and professional success in an internationally competitive society through a fusion of rigorous vocational, technical, and academic skills. For more information about the school, visit www.valleytech.k12.ma.us. Join Douglas Sunshine Club for lunch and line dancing. Join the Douglas Sunshine Club for fun at our barbecue lunch and line dancing on Friday, May 8th at the Douglas Adult Social Center. The Sunshine Club is hosting this event, which starts at 1 p.m., with lunch followed by Lil guiding us through some line dancing. Whether you are new to line dancing or experienced, everyone is welcome to come try some new dances. Lunch is $7 and must be paid when you sign up. The center is at 331 Main Street in Douglas and can be reached by calling 508-476-2283 for further information. Doors will be open at 12:30 p.m. DAR presents Good Citizen Awards. On April 16th, the Captain Job Knapp chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution presented their 2026 Good Citizens Award and scholarships. This award is given by the chapter to honor four area high school seniors selected by their teachers who demonstrated good citizenship qualities of dependability, service, leadership, and patriotism in their homes, schools, and communities. This year's recipients are Caitlin Kelly, Blackstone Valley Technical High School, Mia Darling, Douglas High School, Lorelei Drapeau, Northbridge High School, and Madison Amati, Whitensville Christian High School. Each of these four outstanding young citizens received a DAR Good Citizens pin, a certificate, and a scholarship funded through a generous donation from Unibank and the chapter. The DAR Captain Job Knapp chapter would like to publicly thank Unibank, who has been a community supporter of this scholarship for many years. The National Society Daughters of the American Revolution, founded in 1890 and headquartered in Washington, D.C., is a volunteer women's service organization dedicated to promoting patriotism, preserving American history, and securing America's future through better education for children. It is a nonprofit, non-political volunteer women's service organization. Any woman who has an ancestor who fought in or rendered aid in the American Revolution may be eligible for membership in DAR. Blackstone Public Library awarded Internet-enabled devices by Connected and Online Program. On April 3rd, the Healy Driscoll Administration and the Massachusetts Broadband Institute, MBI, a division of Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, MassTech, announced the distribution of nearly 27,000 Internet-enabled devices through the Connected and Online program to improve quality of life for Massachusetts residents by providing access to essential services and resources online. The Blackstone Public Library is an awardee of this program and has received 16 Dell laptops, 10 Dell tablets, 10 Dell Chromebooks, and 18 Dell desktops for patron use. Two of the Dell desktops will be situated at the Blackstone Senior Center for resident use. Funded through the U.S. Treasury's Capital Projects Fund, the Connected and Online program is a $28.5 million initiative that will provide Massachusetts-based organizations with nearly 27,000 devices, including laptops, tablets, and desktop computers. In addition, more than 20,000 pieces of supporting equipment, including monitors, assistive technology, and remote patient monitoring tools, will be made accessible to more than 200 of these organizations statewide. Including nonprofits, hospitals, libraries, and elder and youth aid organizations. Devices will be used in public spaces such as schools, libraries, and learning centers, or incorporated into free-to-borrow lending programs. Massachusetts residents rely on the Internet every day to find work, take classes, access health care, and build stronger community ties, said Governor Maura Healey. The Connected and Online program helps residents improve their lives by equipping them with the capacity to directly access services and opportunities. The Connected and Online program is an example of how Massachusetts is focused on expanding economic opportunity for all our residents, said Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. By supporting local organizations that serve as anchors for connection and learning, the program meets residents where they are and invests in communities. The Connected and Online program is designed to increase access to education, workforce development, and healthcare services, with a particular focus on gateway cities and rural communities. Devices will be offered through lending programs or at locations accessible to the public. Organizations will conduct public outreach to notify people of opportunities to borrow and use devices. Access to digital tools is essential for connecting people to opportunity, said Economic Development Secretary Eric Paley. The Connected and Online program helps residents access jobs, training, and essential services while supporting a stronger workforce across Massachusetts. MBI is expanding access to devices in order to empower residents and enable them to take full advantage of opportunities in today's economy, said MBI program executive Jody Jones. By putting devices in people's hands, we are opening up new pathways to trainings and resources that can accelerate careers. With digital access, residents will have the ability to pursue new offerings like the free online AI training now available through the Grow with Google partnership with the Massachusetts AI Hub. The Connected and Online program builds on MBI's broader digital empowerment strategy and complements broadband infrastructure investments through the Gap Networks grant program, Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, BEAD program, and Residential Retrofit program to expand affordability and statewide access. The complete award breakdown by organizations can be found on the MBI website at broadband.masstech.org/connected-online. About the Massachusetts Broadband Institute at MassTech, a division of the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, the Massachusetts Broadband Institute, MBI, is working to extend high-speed internet access and availability across the state. To achieve this, MBI uses state and federal funding to launch infrastructure expansion programs that target areas of the state that lack high-speed internet access, as well as digital equity programs that tackle barriers to internet adoption and increase availability, addressing critical issues around affordability, enhanced public Wi-Fi, the need for internet-enabled devices, and digital literacy training. Learn more at broadband.masstech.org. Upton VFW flea markets begin. The Upton Veterans of Foreign Wars VFW Post will begin its summer series of annual flea markets on May 9th at Post Headquarters, 16 Milford Street, Route 140, and continue on the second Saturday each month through October. Hours are 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. with no rain dates. At this first event, the Upton Garden Club will participate, as it does annually, by selling plants and shrubs for spring planting. For more information and for vendor information, contact Post member David Kennedy at 508-529-3314.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times, Friday, May 1st, 2026. Webster awarded $500,000 in Mass Works infrastructure funding for Main Street Project. The town of Webster is pleased to announce that it's been awarded $500,000 for preliminary design of the Main Street Transportation Improvements Project through the Mass Works Infrastructure Program. Working in partnership with TEC, Inc., the town will design upgrades to segments of Main Street, South Main Street, and North Main Street, including intersection improvements, traffic signal upgrades, and new sidewalks. This infrastructure project aims to enhance safety and access for pedestrians and cyclists, complementing regional economic development efforts. The goal is for Main Street Project to be included on the Mass DOT Transportation Improvement Program, TIP. The Mass Works Infrastructure Program is a competitive grant program that offers capital funding to municipalities and other eligible public entities for infrastructure improvements. These investments are intended to promote and expedite development, encourage private sector investment, and support job creation across the Commonwealth. Mass Works will fund the design of the reconstruction of Main Street, South Main Street, and North Main Street to provide improved pedestrian, bicycle, and transit access between proposed developments and existing businesses throughout the corridor. Key developments include a mixed-use development at 21 Pearl Street, 6,000 square feet of retail and fuel services at 431 South Main Street, and access to Main Street businesses for the Stevens Mill redevelopment in neighboring Dudley. This funding represents a meaningful investment in Webster's future, allowing us to address long-standing needs along one of our most important corridors, said Richard LaFond, town administrator. By improving safety, enhancing accessibility, and modernizing infrastructure, we're creating a more connected and resilient community that better serves residents, visitors, and local businesses alike. The town plans to hold a public engagement meeting in the coming months to gather community input from residents and businesses that will be considered in future design efforts so the project aligns with the communities visited for downtown area. Park Avenue Elementary welcomes guest readers. On April 16th, Park Avenue Elementary welcomed more than 60 community members for our annual guest reader event. During this special day, each classroom hosts a community guest who shares a book with students, helping to inspire a love of reading, encourage learning, and deepen students' understanding of the diverse culture within our school and community. This year, Park Avenue was proud to welcome Chief Shaw, along with many members of our police department, Fire Chief Jeff Saad, former Chief Brian Hickey, and members of our fire department. We were also joined by representatives from MAFRE, Desiree, our animal control officer, and school committee members Kelly Siddiqui, Linda Millett, and Miranda Sirigalia. We were especially grateful for the participation of Town Administrator Richard LaFond and Selectman Tom Kleibert and Mark Rogers. Superintendent Monique Pierangeli, a dedicated supporter of this event, returned once again and was joined by Lisa Contos, our business manager, Cal Cohen, Assistant Director of Special Education, and Kelsey Sanders, our Food Service Director. Retired teachers Leslie Gwendiski and Ellen Jeffers also returned to visit former students and read to new ones. Our PAE PTO President, Alicia Smith, not only joined us as a reader, but also played a key role in celebrating culture and diversity by coordinating the PTO's purchase of nearly all the books shared on this special day. We're also grateful for the support of the Gladys E. Kelly Public Library, whose partnership helps strengthen our shared mission of promoting literacy and a lifelong love of reading within our community. Throughout the day, the impact of this event was clear. One guest shared, "You could feel how special this was the moment you walked in. Every detail made it feel so welcoming." Another reader reflected, "It was such a sweet experience. The students were so engaged, you could tell how much this meant to them." A staff member added, "Days like this remind us how strong our community is when we come together for the kids." State Representative Joseph McKenna continues to make this event part of his annual calendar, demonstrating his commitment to inspiring our students and supporting our school community. This memorable event was thoughtfully planned by Sue Ricard and Joy Simonelli, whose dedication and attention to detail were evident in every aspect of the day. From the earliest planning stages and personalized outreach to community readers, to carefully matching guests with classrooms, they ensured that every participant felt welcomed, prepared, and valued. Their thoughtfulness extended to creating a warm and inviting atmosphere, organizing meaningful touches like centerpieces, refreshments, and personalized tokens of appreciation, and anticipating the needs of both students and guests. As one participant noted, "You can tell how much care went into this. It felt truly special from start to finish." The time, care, and effort they invested behind the scenes made this event not only run smoothly, but feel genuinely meaningful for everyone involved, highlighting the power of strong relationships and the heart of our school community. Friends of the Auburn Library announce fundraising events. The Friends of the Auburn Public Library are inviting the public to our very popular third annual afternoon tea, a fundraiser on Sunday, May 17th, 1 to 4 p.m. at the Packetchug Center, 203 Packetchug Street, Auburn. The featured guest speaker is Lewis Elderton, beekeeper. The menu for the tea is a delicious assortment of finger sandwiches, savory delights, sweet treats, and tea. The cost is $30 per person in advance, cash, check, or PayPal. Space is limited. Please reserve your seat by May 15th. Email friendsofauburnlibrary@gmail.com to reserve a seat for payment methods or a brochure. Brochures are also available in the lobby of the Auburn Public Library with additional information. Wearing fancy hats to the tea is encouraged, but not required. The Friends also maintain an ongoing book sale at the Auburn Library. Come to the Auburn Public Library lobby and peruse dozens of gently used adult, young adult, and children's books, DVDs, and CDs anytime that the library is open. Choose from popular titles and old favorites. Book prices are posted in the lobby. See the Auburn Public Library website for the library hours. Friends of the Auburn Public Library is an independent nonprofit 501c3 volunteer organization dedicated to raising money through special events such as the afternoon tea, annual calendar drawings, various literary presentations, book sales, monetary donations, and other activities, and to donate those funds to the library for materials, services, and programs not funded through the library's municipal budget. Watch for all the upcoming Friends event dates. You will find notices in the Auburn Library lobby and postings on our Facebook group page, Friends of the Auburn Public Library. Cornerstone Bank supports Ecotarium's The Secret World of Elephants exhibition. Cornerstone Bank has donated $25,000 to the Ecotarium Museum of Science and Nature to sponsor the Secret World of Elephants exhibition. The donation will help defray the more than $600,000 cost of bringing the traveling exhibition from the American Museum of Natural History in New York to Worcester for a six-month stay from March through September 2026. The Ecotarium expects more than 100,000 visitors to experience the exhibit, which will not travel to Boston. The Secret World of Elephants explores the science, behavior, and impact of elephants through immersive displays, including a life-size woolly mammoth, detailed models of modern elephants, touchable casts, interactive exhibits, and video experiences. Visitors will learn how elephants communicate, sense vibrations through their feet, use the 16 powerful muscles in their trunk, and shape the ecosystems around them. Supporting organizations that expand access to education and science is central to our community mission, said Todd Tallman, CEO of Cornerstone Bank. "We're proud to help bring this extraordinary exhibition to the region and make it accessible to families, students, and visitors across central and western Massachusetts." Cornerstone Bank was formed in 2017, born of a long history of supporting the community and providing a strong foundation to help people and businesses thrive. Serving Worcester County, Massachusetts, Cornerstone Bank's local presence and community-based banking model enables a unique ability to deliver outstanding service with a personal touch. New Bocce League open to community. Baypath Continuing Education and the Southbridge Italian Club have teamed up to launch an exciting new Bocce League on Tuesday nights through May and June. Bocce is a game that all can enjoy. No special skills or talents are required. If you can roll a ball, you can play. These two community organizations are thrilled to bring the sport to a wider audience. Both Baypath Club are dedicated to both the Baypath Continuing Education and the Southbridge Italian Club are dedicated to offering various events for people to engage, socialize, and have fun. This new league is a perfect fit. Here are the details. Tuesdays, May 12th through June 30th, 8 weeks. Teams of 4 to 8 players, $240 per team. One game per week at either 6 or 7 p.m. Maximum of 8 teams. Don't wait. Only team captains need to register for their team. a brief informational captain meeting will be held before the season starts. Gather your friends, 18 and older, form a team, and come join us for the fantastic time on the court. Games will be held at the Italian American Club, 28 North Street, Southbridge. To register your team, call Bay Path Continuing Education at 508-248-5971, extension 1715. Spots for teams are limited, so don't hesitate. Call today. Regis students showcase scholarship at 3rd Annual Social Justice Research Symposium. Co-sponsored by the Writing Program and the Center for Student Engagement, the symposium features student research panels, poster presentations, art and music displays and performances, and thesis slams from students across the university's undergraduate and graduate programs. More than 200 students participated in the event, highlighting Regis' mission to cultivate students as change agents in their communities and to encourage them to serve and lead as advocates for a more just and compassionate global society. This is the 3rd annual symposium bringing together the research and voices of students, faculty, and staff at Regis to explore unsolved issues in our local and larger communities, said Associate Professor of the Writing Program and Symposium Coordinator Jennifer Kruisinger, Ph.D. At a time when AI plays an ever more dynamic and unpredictable role in many of the professions and our society, this event underscores the power of our mission at Regis and our unique emphasis on the human role in identifying a need, taking responsibility, and developing solutions in a socially just way. Free museum passes now available, including new historic New England offerings. The Friends of the Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library is pleased to announce the expanded availability of free and discountable museum passes for the Historic New England, the oldest and largest regional heritage organization in the nation. These passes provide residents with an affordable way to explore history, art, culture, and nature across New England and beyond. With the addition of Historic New England properties, patrons can now enjoy access to historic homes, landscapes, and exhibitions that bring New England's past to life, including nearby Roseland Cottage and Woodstock, Connecticut. In addition to Historic New England, the Friends also makes available free or discounted passes to Davis Farmland, Ecotarium, John F. Kennedy Library and Museum, Magic Wings, Massachusetts State Parks, Mystic Aquarium, New England Botanic Garden at Tower Hill, Old Turbid Village, Cogshell Farm, Providence Children's Museum, Roger Williams Park Zoo, Samuel Slater Experience, Springfield Museums, and Worcester Art Museum. These passes are a wonderful resource for our community, said Gene Samples, president of the Friends. We're especially excited to add Historic New England to our offerings, giving residents even more opportunities to connect with the rich history of our region. Passes are available on a first-come, first-served basis and must be reserved online through the library's website. Many participating institutions now offer digital passes, which can be accessed without needing to visit the library for pickup or return. Community members are encouraged to visit crawfordlibrary.org to view available passes, check availability, and review specific details for each destination. Those wishing to join the Friends can fill out a form at the circulation desk. Volunteers are always needed to help with the fundraising events, such as the upcoming book sale for the first week in June. The Friends of the Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library is a 501c3 organization committed to enriching our community by supporting, extending, and enhancing library programs, resources, and services.
And now for Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. When the Porch Chairs Come Back. There is a certain day every year when you realize the town has put its chairs back outside. Not folding chairs for a parade or cookout. I mean the ordinary chairs, the ones that live on front porches, at the edge of driveways, beside garage doors, or near the front walk where the afternoon sun lingers the longest. One week, they're not there. The next week, they are everywhere. You do not see them arrive. They simply reappear, as if they had been waiting all winter for permission. I noticed the first one this year outside, on a house on a side street I'd drive through often. A plain wooden chair, nothing special about it, set just far enough from the front door that someone could sit comfortably and watch the street without feeling like they were blocking the entrance. 2 days later, there were three more on the same block. By the end of the week, it felt as though the whole neighborhood had quietly decided it was time again. Porch chairs change the pace of a town. When people sit outside, they notice things. They see who walks by with a dog that is getting older. They notice which kid has suddenly outgrown last year's bicycle. They wave to someone who has lived three houses down for 20 years, but whose schedule never quite lined up with theirs until now. You cannot do that from inside. Winter encourages us to keep moving. We arrive home and go straight indoors. We close the door and settle into the evening. Spring invites us to pause again. Not for long stretches, necessarily. Sometimes just 5 minutes before supper. Sometimes long enough to finish the last of a cup of coffee. Sometimes long enough to watch the sky change color without quite meaning to. Those chairs make that possible. When I was younger, it seemed as though there was always someone sitting outside somewhere along the street. Not every house, but enough that you never felt alone walking past. There was usually someone who would nod or raise a hand or ask how things were going, even if they did not expect a long answer. That kind of presence is easy to overlook until it returns. I passed one house the other evening where two chairs had been placed side by side near the front steps. No one was sitting in them at the time, but they faced the road in a way that made it clear they would be used soon. A little farther along, someone had set a single chair near the edge of a driveway where the late sun reached just before disappearing behind the trees. Down the block, another chair rested beside a small table that looked as though it held a glass of iced tea not long before. None of these things were remarkable on their own. Taken together, they made the street feel open again. A porch chair is a small declaration. It says someone plans to be outside for a while. It says the day has stretched enough to make room for sitting instead of hurrying. It says the neighborhood is not only a place we pass through, but a place we share. I always like the week when the chairs come back. It means the season has turned in a quiet but dependable way, and it means that before long, someone will be sitting in one of them, watching the evening settle over the street, the same way people here always have. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. The following events will take place at Plummer Place, located at 20 Highland Street in Whitensville. Our telephone number is 508-234-2002. And please note that Northbridge residents have priority for all programming and events. Radio turns 100, the sound that shaped our lives. Tuesday, May 19th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. From crackling early broadcasts to the voices Boston grew up with, this program brings a full century of radio to life. Join us for an engaging journey through time. This program is designed to entertain, inform, and stir memories with Mike Morin, presenter and a crowd favorite at Plummer Place. Sign up in the main office. Confidence, caution, and control. Three keys to staying steady on your feet. Wednesday, May 20th, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Join us for an informative discussion about easy, practical ways to reduce your risks of falls and stay active and independent at home. This program will be led by a nurse, physical therapist, and an occupational therapist who will share helpful insights about how vision, memory, home environment, medication, strength, and balance can all affect fall risk. Together, we will explore simple strategies that can help you stay safer and more confident in your daily activities. We will also discuss how small changes can make a big difference in preventing future falls. Sponsored and presented by our friends at Seraphic Springs Healthcare. Sign up in the main office. Jimmy Ragtag O'Neill Concert is Thursday, May 21st at 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. oldies, sing-along, and fun. When Jimmy Ragtag is in the house, it's like turning on a vintage broadcast set and letting the past play through the speakers. The songs everybody knows bring back fond memories. It is amazing how everyone remembers the words to the songs we all grew up with and love. Sign up in the main office. The Art of Cats is Wednesday, May 27th at Plummer Place from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Cats have long captivated us, going beyond their role as mere pets to become powerful symbols and icons in art, literature, and more. From ancient civilizations to modern society, the allure of cats has left a mark on our culture, inspiring countless works of creativity and fascination. Do you have a story to tell about a cat? We hope you can join us for this wonderful program. Sign up in the main office. News from the Douglas Adult Social Center. The Douglas Adult Social Center is located at 335 Main Street, and we are open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and on Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. You can reach us by calling 508-476-2283. All our daily activities are free of charge. Tuesday and Thursday Lunch Club, please call the Friday before to sign up. Lunch is $4 per person. If you would like to attend, we offer free rides to and from the center and are willing to waive the lunch fee if necessary. The May lunch menu, Thursday, May 12th, tomato soup, grilled cheese, and fruit. Tuesday, May 14th, American chop suey, salad, garlic bread, and ice cream. Thursday, May 19th, baked potato bar and cupcakes. And Tuesday, May 26th, sweet and sour chicken, rice, carrots, and cookies. Friday shopping schedule from the Douglas Adult Social Center. Please call 48 hours in advance to schedule your ride. Grocery shopping pickup starts at 9:30 a.m. On May 22nd will be Hannaford. May 15th is Walmart. May 8th is Price Chopper, and May 29th is Rider's Choice. Please note the Douglas Adult Social Center will be closed on Monday, May 25th, in observance of Memorial Day. Our wellness clinic date is Tuesday, May 19th. The clinic is open from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesday, March 13th at noon, we are celebrating our annual Mother's Day luncheon. Lunch is free of charge, but please try to sign up early in May. On Thursday, May 21st, the Sunshine Club is taking a trip to a WooSox game. They have tickets left to purchase. Please stop in at the center to sign up and reserve your ticket today. The first pitch is at 11:05. The Roadrunner will be available for rides. When you purchase your ticket, please schedule your ride at the same time. Please call 508-476-2283 to sign up for all programs and classes at the Douglas Adult Social Center. You can also check our website for all our events at www.douglas-ma.gov/202/adultsocial-center-senior-center. Right to Farm and Agricultural Commission approved. Over 4 months after the voters of Douglas overwhelmingly voted to pass a Right to Farm bylaw and bylaw to create an agricultural commission at a town meeting, the Massachusetts State Attorney General's Municipal Law Review Office has weighed in and approved both bylaws. Attendance at the November 17th town meeting was the highest on record in Douglas history, with over 500 voters making their voices heard. Article 1, the Right to Farm bylaw, passed with the enthusiastic support of 73% of the voters, 371 yes, 134 no, before the even more popular Article 2 bylaw to create an agricultural commission passed easily by voice vote. Both bylaws were brought to town meeting by citizens' petition and were backed by hundreds of supporters in an organized grassroots campaign in response to concerning moves by the town's Board of Health towards restrictive farm animal regulations. Petition author Dallas Keeney incorporated language in the bylaws that explicitly protects the right to backyard, recreational, hobby, non-commercial farming on any size parcel in Douglas. She also adopted the state right-to-farm model to improve the complaint handling process by delegating all complaints that are not public health issues to the newly created Agricultural Commission, reducing the burden on the Board of Health, discouraging repeated unsubstantiated complaints, and providing farmers and neighbors with a better path towards conflict resolution with the support of a volunteer board whose members will be well-equipped with best agricultural practice knowledge. Community agricultural education and promotion of agricultural activities in town are also significant functions of the new Agricultural Commission. The Douglas Board of Selectmen will be tasked with appointing members to the newly formed Agricultural Commission and is expected to begin accepting applications from qualified candidates shortly. Once established, one of the first orders of business for the new commission will be to work on getting road signs erected along major routes into Douglas to publicize the town's status as a right-to-farm town. The campaign to pass these bylaws was successful in large part due to the campaign slogan, Freedom Now and Forever, and iconic branding in their yard signs, both of which were created by Douglas Farm Rights Advocacy Group co-leader Hunter Tetro, citing inspiration from the 1835 Texas Revolution Battle of Gonzales Come and Take It flag. The advocacy group also waged a strong social media campaign that prioritized factual accuracy and transparency. It was a slam dunk, celebrates Tetro. Douglas is a town that values individual liberty. We have a history of 279 years of farming freedom as a town, and we weren't going to give that up without one heck of a fight. In a last-ditch effort to derail these bylaws after detractors were defeated at town meeting, a letter opposing the implementation of the bylaws was submitted to the State Attorney General's office. According to the State Attorney General's office ruling, they received an opposition from a town resident urging our disapproval of Article 1. The Attorney General does not review the policy arguments for or against the enactment. Rather, to disprove a bylaw or any portion thereof, the Attorney General must cite an inconsistency between the bylaw and the Constitution or laws of the Commonwealth. The motivation which may have led town meeting to adopt a bylaw or an amendment thereto does not provide grounds for this office to disprove it. Finding no such conflict between the new bylaws and the state constitution and laws, the Attorney General's office determined the opposition does not provide us with grounds to disapprove Article 1. Keeney welcomes the ratification of the bylaws by the Attorney General's office, noting, "This represents a strong reinforcement of legal precedent for Massachusetts towns to use local right-to-farm bylaws to provide additional farming rights protection above the protections codified in state law, including the right to backyard, recreational, hobby, non-commercial farming on any size parcel of land." If the Board of Health in your town is pushing for restrictive regulations of backyard farming, be encouraged that you can fight back and win. The advocacy group has already been contacted by farmers in multiple other towns who are facing similar restrictive regulation proposals from their local boards of health, and Keeney has been providing them with information to help them secure their farming rights.
Saving for retirement. Are you guessing or planning? Let's say you dream of spending your retirement mornings on a warm beach, coffee in hand, waves rolling in. To get there, you had a simple plan, save $1 million and buy the beach house you always wanted. But when retirement arrives, reality hits. After accounting for keeping your current home, everyday expenses, and health care, $1 million doesn't stretch as far as you thought, and the beach house remains a dream. The problem wasn't your discipline. It was that your number was never really your number. It was arbitrary, not anchored to what your ideal retirement would actually cost. How can you make sure your retirement number is right for you? A solid savings goal starts with a clear picture of the retirement you want. Think through where you plan to live, whether you'll keep your current home or downsize, how much you plan to travel, if you'll help children and grandchildren financially, and what health care might cost you later in life. Build a realistic monthly budget and then multiply by 12 months to find your annual need. Adjust this amount for inflation until the first year of retirement. Then, multiply that figure by 25 to get a sense of how much you may need to save. It's a formula based on the idea of withdrawing 4% annually from your savings, assuming you are to retire in your mid-60s. If you need $60,000 a year, your target is around $1.5 million. You may need more or less depending on your lifestyle, health, unexpected expenses, Social Security benefits, and other income. No single rate or strategy will work for everyone. A financial advisor can help you determine your number and strategy. Once you know your target, the path forward becomes clearer. Here are a few tips for next steps. Start early. The sooner you begin saving, the more time compound interest has to work in your favor. Small amounts set aside automatically each paycheck have the opportunity to grow significantly over the decades. Live below your means. Spending less than you can earn is one of the most powerful wealth-building habits. When your income rises, save and invest the difference instead of upgrading your lifestyle. Keep your debt under control. Since credit cards and other high-interest debt can slow your progress, pay off balance monthly when possible. Invest consistently. If your employer offers a 401k, aim to contribute at least 10 to 15% of your salary and increase your contributions after every raise. If you max out your 401k, a traditional IRA or Roth IRA may offer additional tax-advantaged growth eligibility and contributions apply. Boost your income when you can. Develop new skills, ask for a raise, or explore a side income. Every extra dollar saved moves you closer to your goal. The difference between a retirement you love and one full of compromises often comes down to the planning you do today. Know your real number, build a solid plan, and get the right help along the way. This article was written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Developer Loring Stone creates a neighborhood. When driving around Auburn, a person may wonder how a street got its name. Streets like Albert Street, Arnold Drive, and Francis Street sound like first names. Could these names have been real people with a connection to the area? In the area of South Street and Route 20, there seems to be a few first names for streets. This area was developed in the 1950s by Loring W. Stone, a local builder who lived at 11 Paul Street. In an advertisement from September 1955, a choice development of custom-built homes was being offered in the Greenbrier area of Auburn. The area was convenient to buses, schools, stores, and churches. They were large wooded lots and approved streets. Loring's family was originally from Great Bromley, England. They immigrated to Watertown in 1635. Sometime after 1745, Deacon Jonathan Stone III moved to Worcester and was one of the largest landowners of Worcester. He married Ruth Livermore of Watertown in 1747 and purchased land from Gemuel Wallace of Boston. It was 10 acres of land and a house in Worcester near the Leicestertown line and 130 acres in what was then Leicester. He was active in town government and at the age of 50 marched in Timothy Bigelow's company as a minuteman. Loring enlisted in the Navy October 1942 and served on the USS Baltimore from 43 to 45 in the Pacific Theater. After his military service was over, he and his wife, Maybelle, stayed connected to the military by being members of the Civilian Coast Guard Auxiliary, where they taught sailing and patrolled Lake Quinsigamond. He was the past commander of Flotilla 1301 USCG. This also allowed them to be lighthouse keepers in Boston in 1993 for 9 days. Loring was also a member of the Rhode Island Yacht Club. Loring was the fifth great-grandson of Deacon Jonathan Stone III. He was born and raised in Auburn, graduating from Auburn High School in 1939. He graduated from Worcester Academy in 1940 and then attended WPI. The 1930 tax records show Ralph and Alta Gilson Stone, Loring's parents, owning a farm at 128 South Street. It had 30 acres with a house, a barn, and a hen house, one horse, 6 cows, 2 yearlings, and 10 fowls. There was also another 130 acres listed on South Street with a log cabin and a shed. He married Maybelle Masterson in 1943 and had 3 children, Paula A., Barbara Diane, and Andrea M. He also had a brother, Paul, and a sister, Janice. In 1945, Ralph's property was listed under his heirs, Alta, and Children with 59 and two-thirds acres on South Street, 2 acres on Elm Street, 33 and two-thirds acres on Cedar Street, 13.5 acres South Street and Washington Street on the south side, and South Street and 26 acres on Washington Street on the north side. Loring himself had a small lot on Paul Street with an unfinished house. As the years went on, more of the land on South Street was being redefined with new streets and neighborhoods, and Loring was the builder and designer of the homes and street layouts. Maybell Street was in the 1953 tax records, and by 1957 there were lots and homes for sale in the South Street to Washington Street, where you can now find Loring Street, Maybell Ave, Barbara Ave, Diane Ave, Andrea Ave, Paul Street, and across Route 20, Stone Street. It would seem that this area does have a Stone family connection. This article is part of the History of Street Names series made possible by the Auburn Historical Society and Museum. 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesday and Saturday mornings, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and may be reached at auburnmuseum@verizon.net or 508-832-6856. PEO chapters R and AA joined forces to revive beloved Chocolate Sunday fundraiser. After a hiatus of several years, a cherished local tradition is making a decadent return. Sheila Ansley of PEO Chapter R recently announced that the organization's signature Chocolate Sunday is officially back on the calendar thanks to a dynamic new partnership with Chapter AA. The fundraiser, an afternoon dedicated to sampling gourmet chocolate treats, coffee, and tea, was previously sidelined due to the intensive labor required for a single small group to manage. However, after Chapter R reached out to their sisters in Chapter AA, the two groups agreed to a joint venture. By splitting the workload, the chapters have found a sustainable way to bring the sweetness back to Charlton. The event is on Sunday, May 17th at 2 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center, the Overlook of Charlton. All proceeds support the PEO Sisterhood's mission of providing life-changing educational opportunities and scholarships for women. Contacts Sheila Ansley, 508-434-2649, or Elizabeth Paycheck, 508-829-4504. The revival of Chocolate Sunday comes on the heels of a busy winter for Chapter R. Despite a string of historically biting temperatures, members remained dedicated to their cultural and social calendar. In December, members braved one of the coldest nights of the year to tour the Winter Reimagined display at Tower Hill Botanic Garden. While the air was frigid, the spectacular light installations proved well worth the chill. The momentum continued into January with two standout events. Members attended a moving organ concert performed by Amanda Mole, daughter of Jackie Mole. The performance offered a warm, soaring reprieve from the January frost. The group honored the PEO Sisterhood's 1869 roots at the Founders' Day program. Members toughed out the New England coal to enjoy a commemorative meal and program honoring the seven women who started the organization over 150 years ago. Looking ahead to spring as the frost thaws, Chapter R is looking forward to milder weather and continued community engagement. For over a century and a half, the PEO Sisterhood has focused on the intersection of friendship and philanthropy. Through various grants and STAR scholarships, they continue to help women reach their educational goals one chocolate sundae at a time. Action-packed summer STEM program coming to the area. Camp Inventions Fun, AC Region. Camp Invention, a nationally recognized nonprofit summer enrichment program, is coming to the following locations. Auburn, Auburn Middle School, the week of July 6th to July 10th. Uxbridge, Our Lady of the Valley Regional School, for the week of June 22nd to June 26th. Regional program sponsors include Johnson Controls Foundation and Overdeck Family Foundation, a program of the National Inventors Hall of Fame in partnership with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Camp Invention challenges children in grades K through 6 to tap into their natural curiosity and use their creativity to solve problems. Through hands-on activities, Camp Invention promotes STEM learning, builds confidence, leadership, perseverance, and resourcefulness, and encourages entrepreneurship, all in fun and engaging environment. Each year, the program features new curricula inspired by some of our nation's most world-changing inventors, the National Inventors Hall of Fame inductees. This year's Spark program encourages children to be confident of their ideas and explore their innovativeness through hands-on activities, including Space Morphers. Kids build a DIY yacht rocket and launch an epic mission to transform a new planet's atmosphere, terrain, and ecosystem. After a high-energy rover race to collect samples and data, they grow dazzling crystal trees and hatch a mysterious animal egg in a space lab. Make Waves. Campers ride the waves of entrepreneurship and invention. Inspired by a surfer's journey, they create prototypes, pitch their innovative products to hook investors, and build a billboard boat to set sail and make waves in the market. Forensics. Kids sharpen their animal detective skills with Cap-E, Barra, and a fleet of robotic Cappy babies. The investigative trail of footprints collects bits of fluffy fur and examines suspicious splatters before forensically analyzing evidence that has a surprising twist. The Infringers. Campers use their invention superpowers to solve challenges in their community and around the world. They miniaturize top-secret innovations, safeguard their designs using cryptography, and protect their intellectual property from the infringers. I love that this camp lets my kids step out of the usual roles that they have at home and in school and explore different parts of themselves, said the parents of a 2025 Camp Invention campers. At camp, my son learns to be more creative and my daughter learns to be more independent. All local Camp Invention programs are facilitated and taught by qualified educators who reside and teach in the community. Camp Invention serves 147,000 students every year and partners with more than 2,600 schools and districts across the nation. For more information or to register, visit invent.org/camp. Safe boating certificate courses scheduled at Milford and Webster locations. The United States Coast Guard Auxiliary Tri-State Flotilla, Massachusetts, will be instructing two upcoming boating safety classes that meet current state-mandated educational requirements. The Boat America course is offered in a one-day format developed to provide the skills and confidence needed to explore the coast and inland waters by boat. Basic knowledge and skills are needed to have safe and enjoyable boating experiences. This course is perfect for families that have just purchased any type of boat or are planning to in the future, and for the boater keeping up with the changing regulations and laws. Basic marlin spike seamanship, knots, etc., will also be included. Successful completion of the course will certify any minor from 12 to 16 years of age to operate a power boat, including a personal watercraft jet ski for 16 and 17-year-old operators on all Massachusetts waters. In conjunction with the Mass Environmental Police, approved by National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, it will also cover the requirement to operate a vessel in most other states, including Rhode Island and Connecticut, and many countries where boating safety education is mandatory. The Hanson-Malone Boater Safety Act, signed into Mass law, will now require all Mass motorboat operators to complete an approved safe boating certificate course before April 1, 2026, for anyone born after 1/1/1998, and by April 1, 2028, for boaters born before 1/1/1998. Enforcement of the new law will begin on September 1, 2026. This course meets the new Massachusetts requirements. Most boating insurance companies offer a discount on premiums for successful completion of this course. Participants 16 years old and under must be accompanied in person by a registered parent or guardian. Space is limited, so register soon. The course is at Milford High School on Saturday, May 2nd at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And in Worcester, the program is May 10th. For registration deadline at the Webster Fire Department, Classroom 55, Thompson Road, Webster. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ankowiak. Thank you for listening.